Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. There was a pastor who assured his congregation that he was their servant, and he encouraged them to call him anytime, day or night, if they had a need. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, he got a call from one of his elderly members of the congregation, and she said, "Pastor, I can't sleep." And with all the compassion he could muster, he said, "Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, but what can I do about it?" She said very sweetly, "Would you preach to me for a little while, Pastor?" Well, I hope this is the last of my sermon series on prayer, and I hope I don't put you to sleep as we talk about prayer today. The first session I talked about the reasons why we don't pray. Next week I talked about the reasons why we should pray. Last week I talked about the importance of intercession. And so today I want to address a question that really many people are troubled by, and that is, why aren't my prayers answered? Why aren't some of my prayers answered? And so if you've missed any of our other sessions, you can catch them, of course, on our YouTube channel or on our website. But today I want to focus on that real troubling issue for so many, is why don't my prayers seem to get answered? Obviously, we may not realize that there are many of our prayers that are answered. We don't really think much about it, but we tend to focus on those times where prayers aren't answered. And so what I've done is I've printed out a sheet that I'm going to hand out to you at the end of the service with 20 biblical reasons why prayers aren't answered. But I want to focus really on three of those during this sermon today. The first reason why prayers aren't answered is found in 1 John chapter 5, when John writes these words: "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him." So perhaps one of the main reasons why prayers aren't answered is because they're not in accordance with the will of God. Obviously, we know some aspects of the will of God, which are contained in the Bible. For example, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about a number of the commandments. So, for example, if I prayed, "Lord, would you help me to rob a bank?" I would know that that was not the will of God, because the Bible says you shall not steal. So another reason why prayers are not answered is that we don't really believe. Now, just to give you an illustration of this, sometimes when we're in a group meeting or something like that, someone will come up and say, "I just heard word that my aunt in Nevada is has been diagnosed with cancer. So would you pray for her healing?" So maybe the leader of the group would kind of clear his throat and said, would somebody like to pray for this person to be healed? And so a prayer is offered for the healing of this woman in Nevada. But as you look around the room, you realize that nobody really believes that she's going to be miraculously healed, and any more than they really believe that the rapture is going to happen at that moment. And so sometimes what happens is, when we pray, we don't really believe that God is going to answer our prayers. Sometimes our faith in God is that we believe that He can do something, but we don't really believe that He will do it when we pray. A third reason why we pray, why we don't have answers to our prayers, is that sometimes it's not God's timing. In the previous sermons, I've talked about a woman who prayed for 42 years for her husband to come to faith and salvation in Christ. And she finally happened after many, many, many years of praying for him. And so the Bible says that all people, God wants all people to come to faith in Christ. They want to come to Him for salvation. And you would think that a prayer like that should be answered immediately, because it would be according to the will of God. But it was not answered necessarily immediately because of a number of situations. For example, God will not override our human will. He won't cause us to do things that take over our free will, if you will. There might be other extenuating circumstances. It might also be that God might get greater glory if things are postponed a while. These are just three of the possible reasons why prayers don't get answered. And I also want to talk about one of the missing ingredients that perhaps keeps prayers from being more effective, or at least being answered on more regularity. First, let me share with you that missing ingredient by taking out your bulletin and turning to our second lesson from the book of Acts. And this is really a story of the church in prayer. Verse 23 says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord,' they said, 'you made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal, and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." So what do we notice here? First of all, we notice that they prayed together. There's something powerful about praying together, about praying with our fellow Christians, about praying out loud with our fellow Christians. That's why we have prayer ministers at the end of the service to whom you can come for prayer, because there's something powerful about praying with other people. And so they gathered together in prayer, and we also see that they came in faith. They said, "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them." And they began to remind God about what he had said and done in the Bible. They also talked about what Jesus had done, what had happened to Jesus in his life. And they looked at all these things as a part of God's plan. The leadership of the Jews were trying to wipe out Christianity, and so the church gathered together in prayer. Verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." They asked God for help to do the things that Jesus had called them to do. He had called them to preach. He had called them to heal. And he had called them to testify about him. In verse 31, it says, "And they prayed. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, this is interesting because just a little while earlier, all of them had been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and so much so that Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, preached, and 3,000 people came to faith in Christ in that one day. And so, as they preached, as they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, then Peter and John were arrested, and when they were released, they went back to their own people. And as they went back to people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. These disciples and apostles prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit that they would be able to preach the word of God with great boldness and be used by God as instruments of Jesus to heal and to do miraculous things. Amazingly, their prayers were answered, as we read in verse 31. They were all again filled with the Holy Spirit, went out and spoke the word of God boldly. We see also, as we read through the book of Acts, that they went out to do miraculous things as well. They went out and preached the word of God with great boldness, and they healed people as well. So I believe the missing ingredient in many of our prayers is that we may not be filled with the Holy Spirit. As we turn to Jesus and ask him for whatever we need, would it not be helpful for us also to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit? In doing this, we might be open then to the will of God, because we're told in Scripture that the Holy Spirit knows the will of God. So we might also pray with a little more faith if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, believing that God can do even more than we can ask or imagine. But there are times when the one thing that we want is the one thing we never get, writes Max Lucado in his book Parachutes, Thorns, and Grace. What will your response be, he asks, when God doesn't answer the prayer that is closest to your heart? Susan Masonic, the editor of Discipleship Journal, writes this: "I have had a lot of time to wrestle with that question. For most of my adult life, I've been praying for a partner to share my life with. And as my 30s draw too rapidly to a close, God still shows no sign of answering that prayer. When I decided to follow Jesus, my worst fear was not that he would send me to Africa. Actually, going to Africa sounded appealing. What I feared most was that I would have to serve the Lord alone. I surrendered that option to God, but I never thought that he would really ask it of me. Then I hit my 30s, still single. I felt betrayed. I was serving God. Wasn't he supposed to give me the desires of my heart? This sure didn't feel like the best plan for my life. Wasn't it cruel to give me these strong yearnings and then not fulfill them? Like most believers, I had come to a point where it seemed to be true conflict. What seemed to be true conflicted with what I believed about God. At that point, I had to choose whether to believe what God said or what my senses told me. God's grace began to enable me to believe him. Slowly and gently, he revealed how self-centered my faith was and how narrow my vision, how demanding my spirit. Would I serve him if he didn't give me what I wanted? That would even raise the question, that showed me how different I was from Jesus. At one point in the struggle, God gave me a verse to cling to during these lonely times when it seemed like he wasn't providing what I needed. And that was from 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God said he had already given me everything I needed and would need to live and grow more like Jesus. He said my life was already complete whether or not I was married. And how could I experience this completeness? Through knowledge of him. So Susan learned what it is to pray and to trust God, even in the midst of things that she couldn't understand, even in the midst of things that seemed to be going contrary to her plans for her life. Ultimately, we must answer the question, am I willing to trust Jesus with my life and all that concerns me, even if he never answers another prayer? If we have salvation through Jesus Christ, we have the greatest answer to prayer that we could ever receive. And that certainly, anything else beyond that, any answers to prayer that we might receive, really are gravy in the Christian life. So if Jesus tells us to pray and not lose heart, not give up, then may I suggest that we follow his command. As we lift up our requests to him, we can leave the results in his hand. Perhaps the best way to conclude this series on prayer is to quote Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and pray to him, and he will direct your paths." Let us pray. Lord, we know as Christians that we are to pray, that we're supposed to pray, and yet so often it is difficult to do so. Lord, we sometimes forget that that there are reasons why our prayers aren't answered, and so it's tempting for us to lose our trust in you. But Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith so that we would recognize that you're at work in our lives even when we might not see it. And Lord, as we turn to you and lift up our requests to you, we know that you're going to do that which is best for us and those for whom we pray. We know, Lord, that your will is going to take place as it comes about in your plan. We ask that you would help us to recognize each day that the most important thing is not that our prayers are answered, but that we draw closer to you. Lord, I ask that you would help us also to see the times that our prayers are answered that we might not even recognize. And as we see those answers to prayer, may our faith be strengthened so that we trust in you for even greater things in the future. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.